in that inning. So a 9-3 lead for the Rafters in the top of the seventh as Brent Gallegos, the right-hander, will take on the left-hander to start things off. It's right over to first base, picked up by Davis, who will step on the bag himself for out number one. One pitch, one out as Matt Hansen goes down and swings away. Jaron Sanderson now up to the plate as Brent Gallegos has retired four batters on just seven pitches. You talk about efficiency, that's exactly what it is. Jaron Sanderson, Landon Mensick behind him, he's due up this inning as well. First pitch here is low and outside for ball number one. Sanderson, he's 0-3. Struck out swinging his last time up in the fifth. He also struck out looking in the first. The other time, he popped out to the catcher in the third inning. 1-0 count is fouled back to make it 1-1. Gallegos kind of just focused on throwing strikes right now, as that's been one of his problems when he's gotten into trouble this season. The main one, when he's gotten into trouble, it's been because of the walks. That's been the story for a few Rafters pitchers, and some of them you can clearly see making the adjustment out here. Gallegos so far today, but he misses that pitch inside, and it looks like it hit him on the shoulder. But we'll see if it did. And it came back and hit the home plate umpire, Logan Ellenwood. So he's going to take some time here. It did not actually hit Spencer Davis. He's still standing in the batter's box, but the trainer is going to come out and check on Ellenwood to make sure that his arm's okay. Seems like that's going to be a little bit of a bruise right there. That is going to hurt, but hopefully he's all right and just kind of checking in to make sure that everything's all good over there as all the umpires came in. Nick Mayer, the first base umpire. Daniel Roberts, the third base umpire. Logan Ellenwood, the guy that just got hit, he's behind the plate. All of them kind of in a group meeting as the trainer just checks to make sure that Ellenwood's all right, and hopefully we'll be all right to get back to play here as the Rafters feeling pretty good. And on the sideline over there, the Rafters have one of their two-way players, Jack Obraski, running between the dugout and the bullpen. Of course, as a batter, you got to be ready in the dugout, but as an arm, you got to be ready in the bullpen. And Jack Obraski, the guy that I was talking about, he kind of grabs one of those cords over there and starts stretching out that right arm. But another guy already on the mound right now, and can't quite tell who that is out there, but Rafters looking like they've got an arm ready in case Gallegos isn't able to keep up his strong beginning. He's got a 1-1 count to Sanderson. Sanderson nearly got hit by a pitch. But now we've got a 1-1 count with one away. Bases empty for the righty-righty matchup. Sanderson still looking for that first time on base today. Gallegos still has yet to allow a runner to reach base. 2-1 count is outside for ball number three. And now it's 3-1 to the Dock Spiders left fielder. Well, as we're in the seventh inning, I think it's almost time to take a look back at the Northwoods League scoreboard, where we've got a few more final scores. In the Great Lakes West, as this pitch is inside for ball number four, so Sanderson will walk on down to first base. And it brings up Landon Mensick with one away and a runner on first base. Taking a look at that scoreboard, Wausau finished off their win against Royal Oak. It was a 14-3 victory. Over in Madison, a 5-2 Mallards win over the Green Bay Rockers. Battle Creek and Lakeshore are into extra innings. Top of the 10th inning, it's tied 1-1. Pitch from Gallegos misses inside, and that's going to hit the batter. So Jaron Sanderson goes from first on over to second on that, and not the location that we had seen as one of the men warming up over there I was talking about earlier. That's Tony Torres looking to get back into action. He struggled yesterday, but hoping to get right. Gallego still on the mound, though, hoping to get through here. He had a very efficient first inning of action. This pitch inside for ball number one, and that one, again, nearly hitting the batter. He's been missing inside as well. Worth noting that, well, I just noticed this, J.J. Garcia over there at shortstop now is Mason Onati. Nowhere to be seen. Runner showing that he's going to take off. The pitch missed outside, though, and it got away from the catcher. So runners advance over to second and third now on the passed ball. Ashton Zacher, it hit off his glove there. And so Mensick goes from first to second. Sanderson from second to third. With one away, it's a 2-0 count to Jonathan Fitz. Here's the pitch from Gallegos. It's a little low and away. It's a 3-0 count. In danger of loading the bases with Reese Vandevinder on deck. Hoping to get out of this inning. A 3-0 count is way outside. That gets away from Zacher, but it bounces off the backstop and right back to him and keeps the runner over at third base. So the bases are loaded with one out for Vandevinder. And I'm kind of watching over in the dugout to see if we're going to make a move or not. Looks like no action there just yet. Ziggy kind of standing on the edge of the dugout, ready in case something happens. He's going to let Gallegos go here with one away and the bases loaded. Rafters are up six runs. It's 9-3 in the top of the seventh as this pitch misses low for ball number one. Vandevinder has walked three times this game. All three times he's been up at the plate. That one, though, called for strike number one. It's 1-1. Along the line of defensive adjustments, Pat Costin has come in and he's behind the plate replacing Ashton Zacher, as was expected. 1-1 count. This one's hit over to shortstop. Garcia's there. He flips it over to second. Back to first in time. Double play. Got him to end the inning, and the Rafters stay up six. 6-4-3 on the double play, and a big way to work out of the inning. No runs on no hits. There were no errors, and there are two left on base here as we enter the bottom of the seventh on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Econ Electric, Inc., based in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, dedicates itself to delivering cutting-edge and dependable residential electrical contractor services. Whether it's a new home or enhancing existing ones, their commitment spans every detail. The success lies in offering residential electrical services tailored to your lifestyle and property. Proudly serving Central Wisconsin, including Stevens Point, Plover, Lakes Area, and Wisconsin Rapids. Experience the comfort and security of a Generac generator and the excellent customer service of Econ Electric, Inc. now.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Well, once again, we get a pitching change from the Dock Spiders as Colton Angel went just the one inning and 12 pitches. It was a perfect inning for him, but they're going to turn to Jorge Roman as Roman will come out for the bottom of the seventh. The Rafters lead 9-3, and they're looking to get back in the win column here. They dropped to 3-6 after their loss last night. A tough one. They dropped 7-9 here at home in Winterfield. They've got this five-game homestand that they're playing in, and man, they're hoping to have some fun here, and so far tonight, it's been that. 9-3 is the first pitch to Chris Diaz. Misses outside for ball number one. It's a 1-0 count. So this pitch missing way inside and nearly hitting Diaz as he ducks out of the way there. And the count moves to 2-0. So 2-0 to the left-handed batter who's reached all three times he stepped up to the plate. Singles in his last two plate appearances, and this time it's going to hit him right in the back. So he's on for the fourth time today after seeing a pair of misses and, well, Roman not finding the location early here, and Noah Ruiz, the second baseman, he steps back up to the plate. He's reached every time he stepped up. All three times as this pitch misses high and tight as well. It's a 1-0 count. And Jorge Roman right now is getting near the batters, and Ruiz not happy about it. Neither was Diaz after he got hit. But a pickoff attempt over to first, and it's not picked up by the first baseman. It hit his glove and just dropped to the ground as Diaz just raced on over to second base. So Diaz now on second with a 1-0 count for Noah Ruiz in the righty-lefty matchup. Pitch here is on the outside edge, called for strike number one. It's 1-1. Ruiz already has two RBIs in the game. Picked those up on the double back in the fifth. That was his last time up. This pitch drops in there for strike number two, and Ruiz didn't like the call, but nothing you can do about that. And a quick mound visit here is Jorge Roman going to talk with his catcher, Sam Pease, with the runner on second and nobody out. Ruiz hoping to extend his league-leading RBIs. He's up to 14 RBIs on the season, which is tied for the lead in the entire Northwoods League. He's had a pair of five RBI games. This is his third multi-RBI game of the season, hoping to add a third RBI to his line. 1-2, this one's hit to the right side of the infield. It eats up the first baseman, but he catches it with his wrist and steps on the bag himself, although the runner does advance over to third base on it. So three unassisted officially, and Chris Diaz is 90 feet away from scoring and making it a seven-run game. Looks like Spencer Davis getting ready to go as the left-handed batter. Wanting to keep rolling. It's one away, runner on third base. Rafters up six right now, and it's called strike number one to Davis. On deck, Luke Skinner, but Davis trying to score that runner from first. Before it gets to him, this pitch outside, it's a 1-1 count. And the Rafters just trying to keep adding to their lead right now and will make it as tough as possible for Fond du Lac. They have just six outs to get these six runs back as it is. And that pitch did not break the way that Roman wanted it. It's another hit by pitch. Second hit by pitch of the inning. And Spencer Davis, walks in over to first. Chris Diaz still on third. And the fans hailing the boos at the new pitcher. And it looks like a pinch hitter here for the Rafters as Nick Adrian comes into the game. Adrian, this will be his first plate appearance of the night, and that's after he had a pretty good game his last time out. Best of the season so far, where he went 1-for-3 but reached base four times, picked up his first hit in the Northwoods League. Also scored two runs and had an RBI. Swings and misses at this pitch, though, and it makes it an 0-1 count. Three walks for Nick Adrian. Here he swings and misses at this pitch, and he was trying to send that one over the left field wall, but instead can't make contact, and it rolls to 0-2. And in this pinch hit situation, he's really just trying to put one in play, but he's also trying to lift one. So an 0-2 count with one away, runners on the corners. It's outside for ball number one, 1-2. The runner on deck now, J.J. Garcia, who replaced Mason Onati defensively earlier, and here's the pitch to Adrian, misses by just a bit, and runs the count back even at 2-2. Skinner had gone 0-for-3 from the plate before he was replaced. His final line, 0-for-3 with two strikeouts, but he did pick up an RBI on his grounder in the fifth. Swing and a miss here from Adrian, though, and that is out number two in the inning, and takes away a potential sacrifice as J.J. Garcia hoping to keep rolling along. Garcia had been riding a five-game hit streak, but lost it yesterday as he went 0-for-3 before he was pinch hit for. So now he's the pinch hitter, taking over for Mason Onati, the man from Round Rock, Texas. This pitch on the outside edge, called strike number one. Garcia from El Paso Community College. And initially committed to Stephen F. Austin this past season. But now he's committed to play at UCF upcoming year. It's a pitch outside, and the runner taking off for second, Spencer Davis. No throw down, trying to fake him out. So he's on over with a 1-1 count. Stolen base for Spencer Davis. And now the pitch to Garcia is a swing and a miss. Makes it 1-2. And Garcia, one of those many Texas natives on this Rafters roster, he's been having a good time here in the Northwoods League, but not starting today, and hoping to make the most of his plate appearance. 1-2, though, and he swings and misses at strike number three. That's the third out of the seventh inning. And so the Rafters, no runs in the seventh, no hits, no errors, and two runners left on base. It's 9-3 Wisconsin Rapids. When we come back, it's the top of the eighth here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
Hey baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The Ecosystem Mission Area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Once again, a new pitcher for the Raptors, but also some defensive substitutions as, of course, Nick Adrian pinch hit for Luke Skinner, but Adrian not a third baseman. So what do? Well, they turn to one of the two-way players, Jack Obrasky, coming in to play the field here. He is manning third base as a defensive substitution for Adrian. And not worth noting, Tony Torres also into the game. Torres relieves Gallegos after Gallegos ended up going two innings without allowing a hit, no runs, and issued two walks, one hit by pitch. Didn't pick up a strikeout, no balks, no wild pitches. Faced eight batters and threw 20 pitches. First pitch here from Torres is low and inside on Sam Pease for ball number one. Pease 0 for 3 on the game. And, well, he's asking the Raptors to pretty please let him get it to first. Swinging a miss there makes it a 1-1 count. And, well, what's a broadcast without a bad pun? I don't think it counts as one. 1-1 to Pease as this just misses inside and brings it to a 2-1 count. Top of the eighth here, Raptors leading 9-3 at home, trying to finish off the Dock Spiders to split the series 1-1. Torres taking his time. He had a rough outing yesterday, and this pitch missing outside for ball number three, a 3-1 count. And I was talking with assistant coach Manny Silva earlier, specifically about Tony Torres as well. And, you know, coming in a little bit earlier yesterday, as this one is a foul ball sent high and out of play to make it 3-2. And one of the things that Silva had to say is that, yeah, he's normally the closer guy, and it was a close game at that point in time when he came in the fourth inning, as this one's hit into center field. Not too much of a run, a couple steps back and now forward for the center fielder Diaz, and that's out number one. Well, Torres struggled in the fourth inning yesterday, but when I was talking with Silva, he said, yeah, it didn't really seem to affect Torres. He was still in high spirits. He felt good mentally, and that was key to him. No confidence lost in the righty, and Torres showing that off here. He comes into a relatively low-pressure situation in the eighth, and this could do a lot for that confidence as well. First pitch to Kelson Johnson is a little tight for ball number one. Johnson 0 for 3 in the game, but he did reach on an error in the second and came home to score. So the 1-0 now again misses and makes it 2-0. But one of the keys about Torres and the reason that he came in the fourth inning yesterday, because of the rain. You looked at the radar and, well, there was supposed to be a big cloud coming in, and if the game were to be completed but only getting through five innings, the Raptors wanted to be in the lead after that, so they turned to Torres to get as far as he could. So that one's on the outside edge, called for strike number one, a 2-1 count. And so he comes in a lot earlier than he's normally set for. and was hoping to kind of get it over, as this one's a swing and a miss to make it a 2-2 count. But Torres, obviously, wasn't able to hold the game where it was and allowed his inherited runners to score, and along with another three runs to come across. You're trying to come back. He misses a pitch just outside for ball number three. Full count on the fastball. Torres retired the first batter, but another full count here. He's about to throw pitch number 12 on batter number two, and the 3-2 count is outside for ball number four. So a one-out base runner for the Dock Spiders, who have just five outs remaining to come back into this game. And, well, with Torres, you hope that he can pitch well here, but the Rafters do have Jafet Martinez warming up in the bullpen. Martinez has kind of taken over a closer role, and seems like he might be more of the go-to guy in moving Torres to the setup, as this pitch is called for strike number one on Tommy Guggins. An 0-1 count here. Guggins up for the fifth time today. He's 1-for-4 in the game. 0-1 count. This one's hit right to short second base. Caught out of the air. Back to first from Ruiz. And oh man, another huge play from Noah Ruiz. Catches the liner out of the air and doubles him up at first base. Noah Ruiz, have yourself a night. Once again, what can this guy not do? As there is out numbers 2 and 3. 3 up, 3 down. No runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left on base. It's 9-3 as we hit the bottom of the eighth inning here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Score special rebates on a new AC this summer at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now, you can upgrade to a brand new Bryant air conditioner and get up to $1,650 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. Comfort Air has done whatever it takes to keep your friends and neighbors nice and cool for more than 25 years, and they can do the same for you.
Hurry! This offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfort, AIRE.biz.
Swing for the fences with Solaris FiberFast Internet. Whether you're watching the Rafters online or going head-to-head in your favorite game, we've got the speed to keep you in the zone. No buffering, no strikeouts, just home run service from your hometown team. Proud sponsor of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball Club. Locally owned, locally invested. Get in the game at Solaris.net.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
New pitcher once more, one final time, probably, hopefully, here for the Dock Spiders, as we're in the bottom of the eighth inning and the Rafters up 6 runs. It's 9-3, and the new pitcher is Carter Beving, who relieves Jorge Roman after he went 1 inning without allowing a run. Struck out 2, hit 2 with pitches, faced 5 batters, and threw 19 pitches. Carter Beving, a right-hander, going up against the righty Douglas, who goes the opposite way. Blooping fly ball into right field. That gets down for a hit. Douglas will stay at first base, though, as the throw is cut off by the second baseman. And so a leadoff single for Cameron Douglas. His third hit of the game. He's now 3-for-5 as our pregame interview guest of the night comes up big yet again. And man, he has been looking good. Douglas has scored one time. He's got 3 RBIs, 3 hits, and one of the great players for the Rafters in this one is first pitch here to Pat Costin is a little low for Ball number one, a 1-0 count. Rafters looking to make a statement here in their second game of a five-game homestand. Back at it tomorrow with that series against Royal Oak, and then they'll host Green Bay for one game before they hit the road for a few. That pitch low for a ball. It's a 2-0 count. Costin, back in the sixth inning, he struck out looking. And that was when he pinch hit for Ashton Zacher, who was 0-for-3 to start the game. Runner taking off. The pitch is low and away. And, well, the catcher, Sam Pease, not able to pick it up. So it's a stolen base for Douglas. Now a runner on second base with a 3-0 count to Costin. Man from the from Indiana University. Garnerville, New York native. This pitch well outside, and the Rafters have runners on first and second and nobody out. So Carter Beving not having the start that of this outing that he was hoping for. Beving, 6'1", 180 freshman from Nevada, Iowa. He goes to Ellsworth Community College. Now on the mound, it's a hope that he gets back and gets a good pitch against Jack Guerrero. Gets him swinging and missing to make it an 0-1 count. Guerrero is 1-for-3 on the night, but he also has a walk. Reached his first two times up, but he's flown out to the outfield the last two. This one he sends high, foul, and out of play towards the concessions. So now an 0-2 count. Last time up in the sixth inning, Guerrero flew out to left field. Fourth inning, it was a fly out to center field. Second inning, he drew a walk, and in the first, he singled, stole a base, and came around to score. He's got an 0-2 count now. Runner on second base with nobody away, and again, gets a piece of this one and fouls it off towards the concessions. So an 0-2 count still on deck. Noah Ruiz. Ruiz has been having another good night, both defensively and offensively. Sorry, Matt Pinal is up as this one is sent high in the air down that left field line and catches the left fielder a little bit off balance, but Sanderson adjusts and makes the catch for out number one. It is not Noah Ruiz. I don't know why I was looking there. It's actually Matt Pinal. Pinal up now with runners on first and second and one away. On deck is Chris Diaz, and then it's Noah Ruiz. So he's still got a little bit before he's up. And Jafet Martinez, you don't see him warming up in the Rafters bullpen anymore. Chance that we see Torres for a second. We'll have to see as this pitch misses outside for ball number one to Pinal. And Pinal, 1-for-4 on the game. He singled in the fifth, scored as well, and also picked up an RBI in his first plate appearance as a Rafter. 1-0 count to the lefty is right over the heart of the plate for strike number one. It's a 1-1 count. The Rafters, if they're able to finish this one out, it would be their fourth win of the season, and they'd move to 4-6, while the Dock Spiders would drop to 4-5. Quick step off the mound to check the man back at second. And with that, the Rafters would be just half a game back of the Dock Spiders for fourth place in the Great Lakes West. Wausau and Green Bay are currently tied for second, though. 5-4, and that was entering today. Runners taking off. The throw down to third. It's not picked up by the third baseman. So safely over to there is Cam Douglas. As the ball is called for a strike as well, so a 1-2 count to Pinal as Pat Costin goes over to second base. Cam Douglas goes over to third. So second and third with one away, a 1-2 count to Pinal. Here's the pitch. This one's hit the opposite way. That gets into left field for a single. Costin's going to hold up over at third base. And so it's an RBI single for Matt Pinal. Rafters add to this lead. It's 10-3 in the bottom of the eighth. Costin goes from second to third on Pinal's single, and Cameron Douglas comes around to score. Douglas now two stolen bases, two runs, three RBIs, three singles. I mean, he's been having a great night. Costin over at third as well, as this pitch is taken outside for ball number one. Chris Diaz at the plate. He has reached all four times that he stepped up into the batter's box. Hoping to make it five times. He did the same thing, reaching all four times back in his first game as a Rafter. This one taken for strike number one. It's a 1-1 count. That was in the second leg of the doubleheader back on Saturday. Reached base four times, and he has just been an on-base machine. So a 1-1 count, runners on the corners, and he swings and misses at this to make it 1-2. So looking back home is Carter Beving trying to finish the damage here. One away, though. Runners on the corners. The sacrifice could do it, but this one fouled down that left field line, and nobody making a play on it. So 1-2 again here at Witter Field. Pure night sky here as the bugs are flooding the high light posts. It's 64 degrees in the moonlight as this pitch misses outside for ball number two, moves it to a 2-2 count, and Diaz, one of the guys that has such a great eye at the plate. You love his approach kind of every time. Him and Douglas are very similar when they just load up these counts. 2-2, this one is hit high in the air towards center field. Not able to see the ball initially. Now trying to track it. It's a sliding catch. No, it bounces out of his glove. So a run comes home to score as they lost it in the night sky. Bouncing off of the glove. So a run will come home. It's 11-3 with runners on first and second. So still one out, first and second, as Noah Ruiz back into the batter's box another time. And the righty-righty matchup starts off with a high pitch for ball number one. So it's now 1-0. As Ruiz has just been continuing to cruise along here as Ruiz picked up that double with two RBIs on it earlier. This pitch low for ball number two. It's a 2-0 count. He had two RBIs on that double. That was 13-14 on the season for him. He's now got a six-game hit streak rolling. Feeling pretty good about that. And 2-0 count is a big swing and a miss. And I think Ruiz wanted to add a highlight homer to his reel tonight. But not able to pick that up there and swings through it. So it's a 2-1 count. The man from San Diego, California. Officially 1-for-2 on the game with a pair of walks. As this pitch is in there, called for strike number two to bring it 2-2. So a 2-2 count, one away, runners on first and second. Here's the pitch home, and Ruiz swings and foul tips it, but it's caught behind the plate. So that is strike number three and the second out of the eighth inning as it brings up Spencer Davis trying to do some more damage. Rafters are feeling pretty good about the way that things have been rolling for them, and well, the offense really picking up after a couple of guys coming in, and This pitch a little inside for ball number one to Spencer Davis, the left-handed batter. He's 1-for-3 on the game with a double, a hit-by-pitch, and a stolen base, and a run scored. A 1-0 count now. Lefty-righty matchup. Pitch here is fouled straight back and out of play. 1-1, and on deck is Jack Obraski, who was a defensive substitution for Nick Adrian, and he's getting his hacks in. He's only had one plate appearance this season, so maybe he gets pinch hit for, but at this point in the game, I don't think so. 1-1 count, fouled back by Davis to make it a 1-2 count, but of course have to get to him first in order to make that decision. 1-2 count with two away, runners on first and second in the bottom of the eighth. Rafters up 8 runs here, so unless a meltdown on the pitching side, they won't come back up to bat. 1-2, misses low and tight to bring it back even at a 2-2 count. And the Rafters, these last few games, like I said, that offense, they've scored at least 7 runs in every game in June. 2-2 is fouled back, and so it stays at 2-2. Davis, the first baseman tonight, he was hit by a pitch his last time up. Stole second as well. And Carter Beving just trying to get out of this eighth inning. And the applause coming from the crowd as they're trying to hype up Davis. His pitch once again is fouled away. So it stays 2-2. But in June, the Rafters scored 7 runs against the Chinooks. 16 in game number 2, then 7 runs against the Spiders. Now they've scored 11 here against the Dock Spiders. It was after a relatively hot and cold month of May, as this one's a pop-up in the infield. 2 guys under it, and it's the third baseman who makes the catch for out number 3. So the Rafters, they add 2 more runs to the scoreboard on 3 hits. There were no errors out there, and there were 2 runners left on base. It's 11-3. When we come back, Rafters need just 3 outs, and it's Tony Torres back on the rubber when we come back on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're cruising along Highway 54. You're jamming out to your favorite song. You slow down for a red light when out your passenger window, another car revs their engine wanting you to race. Now, at first you're like, no, I can't. But before you finish your thought, the light changes green, your foot slams the gas, your adrenaline is surging until your check engine light goes on and reality strikes. Have fun again in your vehicle. Work with the team at Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Tony, he's here to close it out as we hit the top of the ninth inning here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back into the broadcast. The Rafters are feeling good to go. They lead by 8 runs here in the top of the ninth, and they head back out to Tony Torres to see if they can finish this one up. And you go back throughout this season, and right now their largest win by 7 runs when they won at Lakeshore, and the second game of that two-game series, so could be in for their biggest win of the season. Up 11-3, and Tony Torres, he had a shutout, eighth inning. Ended up going 3-up, 3-down, although he did walk one batter. It was a double play from Noah Ruiz that finished things off. First pitch in here to Patrick Graham is inside, called ball number one. Torres, I mentioned it earlier, he's kind of been reserved for this closer role most of the time, as here's a pop-up to shallow left field. Going out on it, Garcia from the shortstop position, and he'll make the catch for out number one. One up, one down in the ninth inning. That's the way you want it to go, and it brings up Matt Hansen, the first baseman, who's been really struggling today after having a great game yesterday. He is 0-for-3 with a hit-by-pitch, and led off yesterday's game with three straight hits, including two doubles. He also had five RBIs. And, well, after those first three hits, he had a sacrifice fly, and then he was struck out. Then he was hit by pitch in the first this game. Strikeout, and a ground out. 1-0 is outside for ball number two. It's a 2-0 count. So it has been a tough run for Hansen since he got hot yesterday. 2-0 the count is a swing and a miss. He was early on that swing and could not make contact. So the count runs to 2-1. And talking about Torres, you know, he likes this spot. He wants to be able to finish off the game and end it with him on the mound. 2-1 count. This one's hit high in the air towards deep right field. The runner out there, and it is out of this ballpark. Cameron Douglas was tracking that one, and not for too long, though, as he kind of just stood and stared, and a huge shot to right field from Matt Hansen, who no longer is cold. That's the way to kind of turn things around. So it's now a 7-run game. A solo home run from Matt Hansen sets up Jaron Sanderson with nobody on and one away in the top of the ninth. This pitch in there called strike number one to Sanderson on the first offering, 87 on the radar gun. And, well, if you're going to allow a home run, at least it's a solo shot and at least you're up by eight. You know, if there's a way to give up a home run, that's maybe the best way to do it. That pitch outside for ball number one, it's 1-1. I mean, that was hit every stitch of that baseball out to right field. Just to the left of the scoreboard there, and a swing and a miss here from Jaron Sanderson puts him down in the count 1-2. I was talking earlier about Matt Pinal. Worried about him hitting that scoreboard. Maybe it was Spencer Davis. It was one of the two Hope guys. Either one could certainly hit it. Swing and a miss here on a pitch below the zone. That's strike number three. It's the second out of the ninth inning as Tony Torres tries to finish this game off. It's an 11-4 game in the top of the ninth. Down to their last out. The Dock Spiders have Landon Mensick up at the plate. A righty-righty matchup. First pitch outside for ball number one. Mensick, he is 0-for-2, but he's been hit by a pitch twice. The 1-0 count misses a little bit outside to make it 2-0. Well, he's missed outside these first two times, so not looking to hit the batter, for sure. Torres hoping to find a spot, though, is now a 2-0 count with nobody on and two away. It breaks in there for strike number one. So it's now a 2-1 count. On deck, Jonathan Fitz, but Torres hoping to make sure that doesn't happen. Rafters looking to finish off their fourth win of the season. Make it a half-game difference as Torres and Costin weren't on the same page about something, so they'll have a quick mound visit here as They want to talk strategy, make sure that they're all good to go. And so Costin and Torres not joined by any of the infielders here this game has been a good one for the Rafters. I mean, they started the game early on, and they started hot. Up 3-0 at the end of the first, up 5-3 at the end of the second. Then a 4-run fifth inning made it a 9-3 advantage, where it stayed most of the game. Now sits 11-4 as that pitch missed for ball number three. It's a 3-1 count to Mensick. He's trying to reach base for the third time today. Torres sending it home, and that one is just inside for ball number four. So that's the third free pass of the game for Landon Mensick, as he will walk on over to first base. Jonathan Fitz, he's up for his fifth time today. He's reached base three times already. He's got two walks and a single, and also scored a run. He did strike out looking back in the fifth, though. His last time up was a four-pitch walk. Taking off from first base is the runner, and can't get the call on the strike, so it's ball number one. And Landon Mensick on down to second on defensive indifference. Just trying to finish off this batter here, and assuming Mensick's going to be taking off for third base. But he doesn't, and this pitch is fouled back to make it a 1-1 count. Reese Vandevinder is up next if it gets to him. Torres in the righty-righty matchup. It's a 1-1 count with the runner on second. It's a swing and a miss. Dock Spiders down to their last strike of the game. Torres trying to finish this one off with a two-inning finish. And the Rafters tomorrow going to be taking on Royal Oak in the first of two games. The 1-2 count misses outside for ball number two. They're hoping to give themselves some momentum heading into the series against the Leprechauns, especially now that they've basically got a full team. They've got the full 30 now after having played under that 30-player maximum active roster. 2-2 count is a little outside for ball number three, and it is now a full count. Torres was ready for that to be called strike three, but he'll get to throw one more pitch out here. A check back to second base trying to catch the runner lacking, but not able to put the tag down. Landon Mensick over there, and second baseman Noah Ruiz came over and tried to apply the tag. 3-2 count with two away. Righty-righty matchup, runner on second. Rafters up seven. Down to the last strike. Here's the pitch from Torres. It's a swing and a foul ball. Had to reach out that bat to its full extent to be able to get a piece of it. And so Jonathan Fitz just barely taps it. And Vandevinder, who's on deck, he's walked three of his four plate appearances. The other one ended up being a 6-4-3 double play. And now here's the pitch from Torres in there, called strike three, and the Rafters have won their fourth game of the season. They split the series here against Fond du Lac, and they win this one 11-4, the final score. One run on one hit, no errors, and one left on base in that ninth inning for Fond du Lac, and it is a good news Wednesday night. So post-game show comes up next. We're going to go ahead and step aside, and when we come back, we'll take you through how it happened, some takeaways from the game, some statistics, and a look forward to next game's matchup. That all comes back on the Rafters post-game show here on WFHR 97.5 FM 1328.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last two or three decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
Post-game show here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas. The Raptors, oh man, 11-4 the final score. They were feeling it tonight. They were consistent all the way through, and, well, it really showed off on the scoreboard. Well, let's go through it step by step, though. The Raptors taking off in the first inning. It was a shutout first from starter Drew Thompson before in the bottom of the first inning. Raptors added three runs, an RBI single from Cameron Douglas. Before after that, Cameron Douglas came home to score on the RBI grounder from Matt Pinal. And then to end off the scoring, Jack Guerrero came around to score on Chris Diaz's stolen base down to second. They tried to throw him out at second, which allowed Guerrero to come home from third and score. So 3-0 at the end of the first, but top of the second comes around, and, well, the Dock Spiders respond right back with three of their own. They score the first one on a wild pitch where Jonathan Fitz is able to come home and score. After that, Reese Vandevinder, he comes home to score on Kelson Johnson's grounder that ended up being an E6. And then, finally, it was an RBI sack fly from Patrick Graham to knot it up 3-3 in the middle of the second. Bottom of the second, though, the Raptors, they say, hey, we still want this lead. They come back, they score two runs in the frame, but they leave the bases loaded. They score the two runs on a two RBI single from Cameron Douglas. So he started off this day 2-for-2 with three RBIs. What a game from him. Then top of the third comes around, and Drew Thompson, he allows two base runners, but again, a shutout frame. Bottom of the third, Raptors held scoreless. They've still got a 5-3 lead. Fourth inning, both teams go down scoreless. Drew Thompson checking out of the game. It's Zach Crotchfeldt who goes through the fourth inning, allowing just one base runner on a walk and striking out two. Fourth inning, though, was a 1-2-3 frame for Gunnar Gilmore. But in the fifth inning, it was another shutout frame for Zach Crotchfeldt. He struck out another two batters but allowed two runners to reach base then. And in the bottom of the fifth inning, it was time for the Raptors to finally come alive. They really took the lead in the game at that point. They went up 9-3 on the scoreboard thanks to a four-run fifth inning. Started off with a two RBI double from Noah Ruiz, then an RBI grounder from Luke Skinner, and then it was finished off by Mason Onati coming around to score on an error after reaching on a walk and then forcing a bad throw over to first on about a fifth pickoff attempt, and then all the way over to third comes home on another error from the catcher. Sixth inning, though, it's another scoreless inning, and it was 1-2-3 for Brent Gallegos, who checked into the game for the sixth. Bottom of the sixth, another 1-2-3 inning where the Raptors go down as Colton Angel checks into the game. Seventh inning, it was three base runners that reached safely for the Raptors, for the Dock Spiders, but a double play at the end of the inning kept them from scoring and stranded that runner over on third base. In the bottom of the sixth, Raptors go down after having two hit by pitches, the last two strike out. So again, still a 9-3 game. Top of the eighth comes around, and the Dock Spiders go down 1-2-3 as Tony Torres checked into the game, and another double play this time by Noah Ruiz, where it was a liner over to him. He doubled him up back at first base. Bottom of the eighth comes around. The Rafters add two more final runs to the lead. It was 11-3 at that point, thanks to an RBI single from Matt Pinal and an RBI single from Chris Diaz. So that made it 11-3 in the top of the ninth inning. It was last chance for the Dockspiders, and Matt Hansen picked up a solo shot, but that was all that they got. Left a runner stranded on second to end the frame, and so the Rafters end up winning 11-4. Looking back at the stats, there were a couple of pretty great lines to look at. Matt Pinal, in his first plate appearances as a Rafter, he went 2-for-5 with two RBIs. Chris Diaz, a 3-for-3 game with an RBI, a run, a walk, and a hit by pitch. He reached all five times he was at the plate. Cam Douglas, who was on our pregame interview for our guest of the show, and he went 3-for-5 with four RBIs and two runs scored, although he did strike out twice. And along with that, Noah Ruiz picked up another three RBIs in the game, going 1-for-3 with two runs and two walks as well. He did strike out one time. And a bunch of stolen bases all around. The Rafters stole 12 bags in the game. Chris Diaz had three, two for Douglas, two for Onati, and two for Ruiz.